All right, everyone, welcome in. It is another shorthanded edition of Inside City Limits. Today it is myself and Mike again. Trevor is reeling after his Sporting Kansas team got defeated on Sunday against LAFC. So he is out on the mend. He will be back next episode, I believe. I think that'll be enough time for him to
We hope.
recover. We do. We really hope. You know, we're thinking of Trevor in these trying times. You can, because our team is doing very well, so we would have no idea what that's like or how he's feeling, because we've really been on it the last couple of weeks.
One step forward, two steps back.
Yeah. It was another frustrating, to say the least, loss. I mean, but it's not surprising at this point, is it? I mean, we're kind of used to it, but even when we scored that first goal, and I'm always negative, so I don't know if it's just me, but there's always a piece of me that's like, here we go, here it comes. They're gonna fuck it up, and it's usually right.
No, I disagree.
But
I think the way the team acts after they score is completely different.
well, I feel like it
I
was
say the way the team
last
acts, okay?
game.
I'm not saying the results are completely different.
And I
But the way
see
the
what you're
team acts,
saying.
that's an improvement.
And that's why this kind of result at this point in the year, I think, is such like a like we were talking before we started. You see a lot of split reactions. Like, they played well. They had a lot of chances, and you know, they were making things happen. But that's where I get the frustration aspect, where you're seeing all of the, I don't want to say sitters, but like, you're seeing a lot of chances right on target. You're right in front of the box, right in the area, and you just can't convert shit. That's where that hasn't changed. And I feel like at least in Portland this weekend, once they got that goal, they looked like Olaf, where they just kind of sat back and shut down compared to like last week against San Jose. Sorry, that was a long rant.
I don't know. It's hard to. I think everyone is very quickly forgetting how bad we looked. It's like, say, it's like the San Jose game wiped everyone's minds.
Yeah. All it took.
They're not looking uninterested after they score. They got a little complacent, but it's not like we went back to the sixth low block and just hoped they didn't score, right? Like we weren't attacking as hard. I think that's been a failure of City since we got in the MLS, honestly, if you ask me. But I don't know. It's definitely an improvement over how we looked with Olaf, because I listen. I know they missed. How many chances do they have? 18? I know they missed 18 shots. Well, 17 shots.
Yeah, they had
But
eight shots on goal and one goal.
that's like 3 to 4 times more shots on goal than we were getting with Olaf.
Yeah, and that's and this has been my thing the whole year. Like, that's what pisses me off so much is they have moments of build up where you're like, fuck yeah, like a couple of those balls that Betcher ran down, you know, they were like they were getting behind the back line, and then you just can't do anything with it. I don't like towards the end, I wasn't even getting excited when I would see a breakout happen because I knew they weren't gonna finish.
Make a prediction for me real quick. It's
Okay.
June 9th as of recording.
Okay.
When does Joyner get the full-time call up?
I would say, because eventually the new coach, like, we're going back to our ways, we're going back, like, eventually that's gonna run out, and if they're still not scoring, they're gonna need it. I'm gonna say, like, by July 15th, maybe, like a little over a month from now. That's a lot of games to lose. 1-0, or you know, in the last 15 minutes, like we do every game.
Because if you've watched even the Olaf games, the amount of chances and the amount of looks we get, quality of looks we get when it's Klaus out there with it, with whoever else, right? With Betcher, with Toyshirt, whoever else, as long as Klaus is out there, you just need someone who he holds the play up. You need someone he can dump it off to that can score a goal. And it's obviously not Betcher. It's obviously not Toyshirt. I know someone who just put four past Portland too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and Klaus is like, there's, it's like, you know, there's two sides to the City fan base. There's people who love him and will blindly support him no matter what, and then there's people who hate him. They want him gone. You know, the people feel very strongly one way or another. I think that he is the kind of player that you need on this team. I think he serves a very good purpose. He does very well at certain things like holding up play and facilitating. But when he's your DP striker who's like a fan favorite and, you know, he's like the guy, he's not quite living up to that billing or to that salary that he's getting paid. So it's a tough one to navigate.
Yeah, it's literally one that, you know, you peruse the social media during and after the game, and it's like everybody's making sense. It's wild. You know, every time someone has something to say about Klaus, you're like, I get that. I see that point.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see it. Well, I guess we can get into the actual goals itself. I mean, we've already kind of talked about it, but I did want to go back. So we last recorded before the availability report and before the Friday training session, because I went back and looked, and we did pretty well with our lineup predictor. I think we got like 8 of 11 starters, but the ones that we missed were Hebert. We had Reed, who just played 90 for City 2, so that was kind of surprising that he got the start. Yeah. Zielinski we had at right back. That was Totlin there, which I'm perfectly okay being wrong with that. Yeah. And then we did have Leuven in the midfield, but he has picked up a little bit of a hamstring injury. He was out. It is a physical injury. Didn't know that at the time. So if we're coming up with excuses, that's one of them. But we did see Morales in that spot. We had Watts going to the center mid, which you know, wasn't a crazy assumption with the Wallum suspension. But Leuven is one of those where you could tell. I mean, when I saw that lineup come out, I was like, ugh, that center mid pairing. We might be a little disconnected up front and at the back line. But I feel like taking out the missed chances.
The person whose fault it was is not the guy you were expecting. Because Watts played amazing. Not amazing? Yeah. Might be a stretch. Amazing compared to his Olaf games?
Oh, yes. He played great.
So, I mean, that's just a case of Olaf mentality ruining Akil Watts. Made me hate him for a couple games there.
I'm very quick to shit on or to hate on a player. And Watts is one of those guys that I was the same way. I would say I did. I wouldn't say I hated him, but I was very sour on him playing any minutes. And every now and then he'll get out there and perform well enough that I'm like, maybe I need to chill. Like he brings a lot of energy out wide. He brings a lot of pace. I guess he was, you know, center mid today, but he took advantage of opportunities.
It's as simple as if he's allowed to be on the front and attack, he looks great. So obviously he's not going to fit Olaf's system.
Also, and again, before City was around, I wasn't watching a whole lot of USL, so I don't know. But I thought that he originally was like a midfielder before here. Like he played like left wing or something. So he is comfortable going up and making plays in the attack, which is exactly what we saw. Even, you know, I think it was that, what chance was it? Like Celio slipped it in up the left. You know, he had that first shot that was blocked, and then that ended up, you know, kind of being the start of that goal that he scored. I mean, he was involved a lot of the match. You mentioned,
I kind of struggle about Celio. Like, I think he kind of disappeared.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I guess I'm used to it a little more than what I saw from them. It might be as simple as where the attacks were being built up from, but I don't know.
He did have
wowed by Celio.
Yeah, he did have the second highest rating on the team. He was tied with Berkey for a 7-3. But, like, we were just talking about Watts. Watts, who finished with a 7-8, obviously he scored the goal. But I feel like he was much more involved than Celio was. I don't know. And Celio is, like we talked about, people having, you know, those feelings about, like, they're always going to support Klaus, or they'll maybe, you know, turn a blind eye because he's their favorite player or whatever. So I have that a little bit with Celio, where I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt if he plays like shit. Compared to, like, if it's Watts, I'm probably going to not be a fan. I don't know.
Well, you know, I pulled up his stats. 88 minutes. This is from Flipmon, by the way. 88 minutes played, one shot, 74% of his passes, two chances created. You know, you expect more from Silva. And it could be as simple as that's what they game planned for. It's not letting Celio create.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that. But, you know, I came in four passes into the final third, one of five on crosses. You know, I mean, you kind of expect a little more, and Celio has to do more, in my opinion, for this offense to work.
I will say, though, that when it was announced that he was going to be starting, I was very excited. I mean, when the lineup came out, besides that center mid pairing, which there wasn't really anywhere else you could go with Leuven being out and Wallen being suspended. So, I mean, you were going to see a pairing you weren't thrilled about, most likely. But Etcher and those two in that position were really my only issues. I was thrilled to see that back line of Jay Reed, Kessler, Bumgarnel, and Totland. I mean, that was like chef's kiss, like perfect.
Yeah, that's the ideal back four. Obviously, you want Toyshirt instead of Betcher. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want Leuven and Durkin in there. Otherwise, you know, I mean, that's even with the injuries, that's pretty close to our ideal lineup. So you really hate the 2-1 scoreline. Although you could say we were missing, like, the most important. Well, like, we were missing Leuven, obviously.
Yeah.
Talking about people disappearing, Hartel disappeared.
Yeah.
I think he probably had his worst game this year, honestly. I don't even think that's a stretch to say that.
That's not ridiculous. That's not ridiculous to say that. I think that I actually saw a couple people online kind of, like, I saw, I can't remember who it was.
Giving them the business?
Yeah, yeah, they were talking about how, like, they didn't do great in the window, and then someone was like, well, they signed Toyshirt and Hartel on the free, and they got Kessler in that trade, and they were like, Kessler was the only player that was worth of value in that you mentioned. And I was like, well, I think Hartel's been pretty good. He's struggling lately, but
probably Hartel's been our best player this year. I don't think it's a stretch to consistent. Say that.
He's been in the lineup.
He's consistently played and consistently performed. Like I said, this was his worst game. That's a wild statement because Kessler didn't look too good today either. You know,
I wrote that in the notes after that. Well, first of all, the goal that they scored was just kind of the opening of the floodgates, where he was just like, I think Ian in our group chat said that he was just walking Anthony right into the box, like, just casually backpedaling.
Said that.
Oh, I apologize. Just walked him right in. That shot was insane, though. I mean, you can't blame Berkey for that. I think you can't really blame anybody except Kessler. Maybe step up, put some pressure on the ball. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's Kessler. That's back to who did Yaro do that against? That we lit him up in the podcast for that.
Was it?
It was LAFC. LAFC's second goal where he should have fouled and didn't. We lit him up for that. And Kessler deserves the same treatment because that was just as bad. It was actually probably worse because he was in front of him.
Yeah, it just, like, didn't. Like, I could understand, you know, doing that for a little bit, but he was I think he was in the box by the time he let that shot off, or he was very close. Like, after a while, I feel like you at least have to stop backpedaling and make a play on the ball, or like try to challenge it. Like, I don't know. Just didn't look great. I guess you don't expect someone to curl in a banger like that from that distance, like put the ball casually at their foot, but you gotta do a little more there. Gotta do a little more there. And then after that, it just felt like, I mean, I even heard him mention it on the broadcast, like Antony was just running wild, and Kessler was the one tasked with trying to keep up with him. And I think we're lucky that he only had one goal, because it looked like he could have had at least two or three.
For being the guy that they obviously should have had their eye on, because he led the team in goals coming into this game, he definitely got a little too much space. Consistently got a little too much space.
Yeah. And they are, you know, he's flicking the ball over Totland on the left side, or City's right, and dribbling straight in, banging that curler in. And then we have, like, three chances within the six-yard box that get saved or missed. We have Klaus missing a sitter with no pressure in the box. We have Betcher not finishing chances or falling over himself, running onto a ball. It was just like, that's a game that we should have walked away with 3 points. Because I think in all, we played well, which is kind of wild to say, but I think it's true.
We've had three. It was inexcusable to not get one, and we walked away with zero, is how I looked at that game.
Even if you draw that game, it's definitely still annoying. I definitely still come on this podcast and complain about it. But, like you said, you know, it looks...
You wouldn't complain about.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not denying that. But, at least, like you said, it looked different. It looked better visually. They played better. At least for most of the game, like the first half and some of the second half, I can't say it for the last 20 minutes, they were on it, and it was nice to see. But those missed chances, I mean, it's the same shit, different day. We've talked about it all year long, and just nothing really has changed. And
you know what also falls under that umbrella of the thing we see over and over that's consistently costing us games that I feel like isn't getting enough attention?
Mm-hmm.
How many times are we going to score a goal on a corner or a set piece and you just got guys standing flat-footed watching the ball over their head?
Yes. Hold on. I'm going to send this in our group chat. I literally, when I was watching back the game, I took a picture of my TV screen because it's as... I don't even remember who scored the goal. As he was, like, putting the ball on net, there's Reed on the far left, JGR, looks like Timo, Kessler. Like, they're literally all standing in a line in front of Berkey by the six-yard box, just not doing a single thing.
And how many screenshots do you think we could get of that over the course of this season?
Oh, God, a lot. If I had nothing going on in my life, I would go back and look. Like, remember Jack said that about all the VAR decisions? He's like, I'm going to go back and find every VAR decision if it was on our side or not. And then he was like, yeah, actually, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's too much work. That's too much of a deep dive for me. I'm not going to do that.
What's the X count that puts all those stats out?
Chat City Tactics, the data charts and all that shit.
Ask them to do it.
They probably could. If anybody could, it'd be them. They're always on it, dude. But I don't know, man. It's just missed chances. That's that. If I could wrap up the City season in two words, it's missed chances. And I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, but I feel like the only way that changes is if you bring in new players, because at this point, I almost feel like it's a confidence issue. I don't know what else it could be, unless they're just not.
How many times are we going to see Klaus score, go, hey, that's the one that'll get him going, and then nothing happens from it?
It's like we're trying to manifest it. Like, no, this is going to be the one. Like, it's going... And they get those looks. Like, the one I can't remember when it was. I think it was just after the second half started, where the ball literally fell to him. He settled it with his chest and was like clearly wide open in the box and just skied it. Like, he even put it on net.
That's the one exchange I saw that you're like, because somebody was like, obviously, we look so much better with Klaus. And it's not even just the eye test. Statistically, when Klaus is on the field, we're a much better team.
Yeah.
But when your number nine gets the ball in the middle of the box, it at least should be on target. You know? It should at least be given a chance to go in.
I would much rather it be like, I think Hartel had one, and the Silva shot at the end, which we definitely need to talk about. But like, I'd rather you just shoot it slowly right at the goalie's chest than to send it wide into row Z.
I disagree.
Put it on net.
Yeah, I disagree. But,
I think that the first option is more like annoying. Like, when I see that, I'm like, what the fuck, man? Come on. But like, I would rather see that than you just completely mishit it way up into the second deck.
Sounds like I'm in an Enterprise up in the top rows right now. Just hearing someone shoot. It needs to have a chance of going in. I'd rather them go 0 of 18, everything's so close, but hit hard, than 18 shots on target, but not one. It had a chance of going in.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, there's one thing we can agree on. They're not going in.
They're not going in. You need to get Klaus a real number nine. I think this would be a successful team.
Yeah.
How we've seen Critchley set up, I don't know, does Klaus fit in Critchley's setup? And I know it's an interim thing, but you do need to use this season to test who stays.
Well, he's been running, and I think they showed this on the broadcast. So, and if it switched at some point in the game, I'm going to be honest, this wasn't a game that I watched as closely as others, but they were running, what, a 4-2-3-1 again?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like Klaus is almost like how Toyshirt described himself, where he's better below the true nine or the striker. So I almost feel like that three midfield could be like a Hartel, Klaus, and somebody else, and then that striker up top. Like, I'd be cool even bringing him back into like a center forward or a cam role, because I feel like that's where he'd be best anyway, because he's certainly not a poacher any means.
If you remember when he was doing his best was when we were doing that Carnell 4-4-2 when he had Giacchini next to him.
Yeah, he kind of laid under a little bit.
He would sit back and, you know, hold the ball, let the attackers go, and then come forward with it. And yeah, you can see that. You can see like a Pompeo, Klaus, I mean, Hartel on the right, or even you could start putting Hartel back in the center mids, even though I really like the Leuven Wallum pairing
too.
But it doesn't really matter because you still got to find that nine. It's not Belcher.
I think that if you could do like a Klaus in the middle, Hartel on, you know, one side, maybe Celio on the other side of that three up top, your striker above that, a Leuven Wallum center back pairing, and then that back line that we saw last night, I would be pretty happy with that.
Maybe the Joiner?
Yeah, Joiner, like,
it's June 9th. I'm going to start the Joiner hype train.
Yeah, Ed, we're going to, I know we always compare teams to other St. Louis franchises, but we're about to get to that point where I'm like, all right, we suck. We're not going to make the playoffs. Like, bring them up. Like, I'd rather see the young guys play and get ready for next year than risk, you know, Klaus or Leuven or Hartel playing, you know, full 90s all the time and injuring themselves. Because I think I saw somebody say online, who knows where this came from or if it's true, but they were like, yeah, we're at like a 3% chance right now to make the playoffs. So I think we could put a bow on that.
Never over till it's over. Should I bring up the 2019 Blues?
I've got a quandary for you.
That's going to ruin my perception of St. Louis sports from here on out. Someone's like, oh, 2% chance. Well, back in my day, the Blues had a 1% chance.
Let me tell you about a pesky little hockey club that came from last place and won a title.
Real underdog. I've heard of Jordan Bennington.
So just let all the young kids play as much as you can with the weird roster rules that I don't understand, but let them play. See if we can get anything out of them. I don't know.
Winner could be our Bennington.
Dude, I would, and that's like, that's what I want.
That 2019 is just going to, every single time from here on out, rest of my life.
I feel like even from day one, like they had always talked about how much they want the system to rule, and they have all these youth initiatives, like they really want to develop that academy and that system. And I feel like he could be, I'm trying to think of who else. Like, I know there were some players like Celio and Watts who played on City 2 when they were in the next pro. But, like, I think Joyner could be that first academy player or you whatever player that, like, solidifies himself as a first-team player if he can finish. That's really all we need.
Whatever happened to Caden Glover?
I don't know. I think he's still playing at City 2, I believe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be next man up.
And dude, this is where I can be a hater, because I just said I want young kids in the academy to come up and play, but sometimes. Hey, nothing against Caden Glover, but I feel like sometimes MLS teams, not even City, supposed to do that shit. We just want to say, oh, we had a 16-year-old, you know, make a cap, and he, like, the third youngest player in league. It's like, I don't know.
Say his name.
I don't know who you're referring to, but
I don't know who you're referring to. You're talking about Perez.
Honestly, I really wasn't. The one that came to mind for me was that kid at Philly who, when he's 18, is going to sign with Man City, Sullivan. Like, they made such a big deal about him playing at like 15 years old or something stupid.
You ever heard of Freddie Adu?
It's true. Yeah. And he really panned out. He definitely fulfilled that prophecy for sure. But sometimes I'm like, maybe don't put the 15-year-old in when we're down 2-0. Like, I don't know, but that's just me being a hater, and I will admit to that.
Have you heard any, and you're on the social media, I'm going to continue our young guys questioning real quick.
Yeah.
What's up with Emil? What's he been up to?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm not going to attempt his last name. I'm just going to call him Emil.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like he was at least... he was on the bench for a couple games this year. Am I crazy with that? At least like the cup games, but he never really made an appearance. Let me see. I think that he's with City 2 at the moment.
Yeah, he's with City 2. Got stats right
here. He's another one, dude. If striker with City 2 and we're in 14th at the end of the season, I'll 25 bench. Let's see what you can do, pal. Okay, go ahead for the stats. All right.
10 appearances, 1 goal, 5 assists.
I like the 5 assists.
At the end of this year, is that true? You'll get your guys for one year. Your draft picks.
There's no way, right? Again, probably something that we could figure out.
That's transfer market. You know.
But. Yeah. Who knows.
That's wild to me. If that's true. Doubt it. But
big if true. For me, or did I mishear that?
Jimmy's here what?
I thought, was that the stat that you had, or did you say I have a stat for you and I didn't ask?
Yeah, I was talking about him in City too.
Oh, yeah, I like the 5 assists, but I need a few more goals. I need like a joiner 4-goal performance against Portland to really drive my interest. But in a couple weeks or maybe a month or two from now, when it's really bad, if it's bad, bring him up. Fuck it. Why not?
It's not going to be really bad.
Yeah, you know what was really bad? This is like the last thing that I wanted to mention from the actual game. You kind of mentioned it before we started. A lot of people online kind of turning on Zande Silva very quickly. I know the play that everyone saw online was the 90th minute when he had a little break. And he had McSorley, you know, making a run on like the bottom right-hand side of the screen and maybe laying it off to him. He decided to take a shot through, I think, 2 or 3 defenders, and it went right into the goalie's chest. So that was one where I was screaming at my TV and was then told to quiet down. But it's a lot of frustration watching these games.
But it was on target. Wouldn't you rather than be on target? Isn't that what you said?
No, I think I might regret making that statement. Because let alone how bad it sounded when you just said it now, I know that every time a dribbler like that goes towards the net, you're going to say, oh, well, you said you like it better than that when they send it up to Rosie.
Speaking of things Cole is going to regret saying, I have something for the faithful fans.
I knew this was coming. I've prepared screenshots. I have defenses, but we can do this now. Go ahead.
We have a very active City group chat. All of our whole group loves watching City. What? Loves is a rough word.
They watch. They watch.
7:20 p.m. Sunday.
This is like a Law and Order intro.
This is the 48th minute of the game, just going off of... Actually, I got timestamps. Cole Sutton, I hope we lose this game. 2 minutes later, 50th minute. What happened, Cole, 2 minutes later, 50th minute?
Akil Watts, of all people, back the net.
Do the faithful thing I got one... Akil Watts appreciation text from Cole.
Yeah, you did.
No.
I said Watts in all caps. That was me.
That was the fakest thing I've ever.
Watts. That was how that was supposed to sound.
Jack even said the positivity from Olaf sacking.
Yeah.
Lasted 140 minutes for Cole.
I will say. That was in the heat of battle. I was very upset. I think what I said was, we don't deserve to win, which, again, is a tough look to reread now. The funniest part, though, is before I sent the Watts text when he scored, was in all caps, shut the fuck up from yourself, my gracious co-host. And then another text that I don't know if I want to read because it was a little more aggressive. But you definitely made your voice heard. And I said, I deserve that. I would face the criticism real time. I understood that I might have went too far. But I was very frustrated.
I'll read it. I'm not going to let the insiders on a cliffhanger here. I did say,
okay.
Keep rooting for Portland. You bitch, is what I said to Cole.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I was crossing the line. I think the wildest thing I ever hear out of these supposed St. Louis sports fans is, well, I hope we're going to lose. Because what? Because Close Klaus missed a sitter? Fickle is the heart. What's that saying?
That is why. I mean, it wasn't just one sitter. It was sitters. But yeah, it was a an interesting reaction, to say the least. And then I think this was when that second goal got scored. Or maybe this was the first goal. No, this was the second goal. Hey, there you go, Cole. Wish granted, you ass, both from you, at about 8:04. So that really escalated rather quickly.
The goal is the heart of a St. Louis City fan. There you go. That's the original saying.
You've been put to the test the first 3 years if you've been a St. Louis City fan, because it's a roller coaster, to say the least, the first 3 years of this glorious club.
I'll say it once again, it's because we did it backwards.
Yeah, and you're right. But I don't even need, like, I don't know. I mean, it was amazing when we were in first and leading the West, but I'm not even asking for the West. I just want to be in a playoff spot and at least give me some hope that we can contend, even if it's like I'm just pumping my own tires and, you know, getting my hopes up. At least let me be good enough that I can think it can happen. That's really all I need.
Hey, left hand up on the preview episode, you know. We kind of made fun of Portland for always being 4th through 6th. I'd kill to be 4th through 6th right now. You know?
Oh my god. Yeah. Absolutely. I do have, we can do maybe a quick thumbs up, thumbs down, and then I wrote some reactions that I found on social media, on X, Twitter, whatever you call it. But I thought that we kind of wanted to, this was your idea, by the way, so I'm not going to say that I thought of it, but I thought it'd be funny to just get a little glimpse of how the fans are feeling. Anything, you know, somebody pissed off in the replies, you know, a good stat, maybe something like that. But first, give me your thumbs up and your thumbs down, Trevor's very well named segment that we're doing without him today.
Yeah, we'll have to think of a better name.
We're going to workshop that for sure.
I think the thumbs up, you have one answer, and it's Watts.
Yeah, I agree. Especially,
that's a guy we kind of shit on all year. So, you get credit when credit's due.
Yeah, and he did play well. That's the thing. If you're going to shit on somebody, if they play well, you can't hide and not mention it. So he did play very well. I also had Zielinski. I know he didn't play for that long, but I think he only got about 20, 25 minutes with stoppage time. But he looked pretty good. I remember a couple of tackles that he made where, you know, after the last game when he was in, I was kind of like, ooh, like, you know, he didn't look as great as I hoped. But I thought he kind of bounced back in the limited minutes that he got. So I threw maybe, you know, like the, what's the movie where he starts in the middle with the thumb and then gives him a slow thumbs down? I'm like right in the middle with Zielinski on
The Sunday. Gladiator?
And one of them, yeah, sure. Gladiator, but yeah. I thought Zielinski played well as well. Thumbs down, though? Who did you have?
What movie could that be?
Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Batista gif.
That's not a movie, though.
I know, I was just... Oh, okay, the Batista gif where the goes out. Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
You're thinking of Gladiator.
Okay, Gladiator. Or the Batista gif. I think we should go Batista gif.
I feel like more people have seen Gladiator.
Ah, well, those people would be nerds.
Thumbs down. We actually have two different people.
Yeah.
But... they all make sense.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do.
I went with Kessler. This kind of, and it's a one game reaction, so, you know, grain of salt. I'm kind of worried he doesn't do well at four with four at the back. One game reaction, yeah. Coming off an injury, a lot of variables that I could be pulling at. I'm going with the darkest timeline. But you know, he excels when he's the central defender and a three at the back. But worst game just having to come when he's at first back. You know what I mean?
And I don't know. I'm hoping that's not the case because I think that they're pretty set on that four at the back. And it was his first start since, I think, like April 13th or something. So that's he does have
of,
to get
a lot of variables.
But if that is the case, it's very troubling.
Very worrying.
I'm just gonna act like I didn't hear that and that I haven't thought of it yet, and then I'm just gonna kick it down the can. Kick it down the can. Jesus Christ. Kick the can down and just not mention it. Just not think about it.
Cross that bridge, right?
Yes, that was a much better line than what I gave. But, I mean, yeah, you're right with Kessler. This wasn't really a hot take necessarily, but I had Klaus and Boettcher just for the missed chances. I think that Klaus did bring some impact to the game with his facilitation, but seeing all of those chances missed, I think I might have still been a little angry when I filled that out, but I picked both of those because I got to see some production in form of putting the ball in the back of the net very soon.
Let's get to these hot takes from the crowd. Man, we're not very good at naming segments, are we?
No, we definitely are not. We definitely need a team meeting where we can go over some names. But mainly looked at, like, X. You know, I looked at the city hashtag. I looked at the replies. I know the only form of, like, I don't even know if it's called social media, but you're looking at, like, subreddits, right? Like, the city subreddit. Like, didn't you have a few that you saw as well?
They have. Okay. They typically have threads when the game's going on. I just did the post-game thread because I didn't want any Cole opinions of heat of the battle, rooting for Portland. And then he wonders why we call him an Austin fan.
I wasn't rooting for Portland. Okay, we're just going to... The first one's a sad stat. This was per at Hot Corner STL on X. I think... they either follow the pod or follow myself, so thank you for listening if you're listening. City has dropped points from winning positions 15 times since the start of 2024. 8 draws and 7 losses. That's almost 30% of the games played in that time. Not great.
Didn't say how many of those games we ended up winning.
It just said dropped points from winning positions. So that must be like where we had a lead, and then
yeah, but how many times did we have a lead?
At least drawing.
Apparently, 70.
You know, that's
well, not 70%. So.
Or we could just lose.
Yeah, it seems like
from the jump.
I don't know. That seems like one of those cherry picked. What if we were like 28-7? That doesn't look bad.
I think that
honestly, you should obviously. You want to convert all of them, but anybody who's been a sports fan for any period of time in their life knows that that's just not a thing that happens 100% of the time.
The other one that I saw was Nathan Tucker. He's at Sportwatcher Pro, and he's a good follow on Twitter because he is in the press box. You know, he goes to all the events and. He also was just a good follow, but this one made me chuckle. He said, I can't believe that Olaf Melberg is missing all of these chances.
I didn't think that one was very funny when I read it.
That's what I said. I knew you'd love that one because I knew you'd at least have something to say, most likely being a hater.
Well, I said it earlier, you know, at least we're missing 18 chances and not 6.
Yeah, I don't know. There's
one step forward, two steps back. I think that might be the title. Because I think it sums up what's going on pretty well.
And there's still a piece of me that, watching that game Sunday, thinks that it might not have been all Olaf's fault. But I certainly don't think that he was making it any better. So I just thought that was you know, you just got to keep that perspective. You don't want to.
That
just
leads me
think. Oh,
yeah, into the one I found on the.
This is a good one.
Subreddit. By the way, I think about 30% of the subreddit spells Olaf's name right.
Is it Olaf like the snowman?
It's,
and
it's just like I have it typed there. It's OLAF is how everybody types it. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to user Timely Barracuda 696 who said Olaf knew our final third was dog shit. And instead of trying to watch them miss the broadside of a barn, he tried to play defensively. Was, the crazy part of that, Cole, is insinuating Olaf knew something about our team.
Yeah, because when you first said that one before we started, I was like, I kind of agree with that. Like, I think that's true. And you were like, I think that's crazy. And I was like, huh? And then when you said it that way, I was like, yeah, you know, he might have been a little disconnected from what he had on the roster.
I think we could have had Neymar, Suarez, and Messi at Barca. And he still would have put six back.
Dude, did you see? I put it in the notes. Andrew Wiebe, who is on like the Apple TV broadcast for the MLS, got a question that asked basically, so did Olaf just lie in the interviews that he would do, like the high pressing? He went back and clarified later, but he said, that's what I believe the front office feels happened, or something along those lines. So where he was insinuating that he was just like, yeah, yeah, I'm on board, a high press. Yeah, we'll be aggressive. And then just went five at the back and fucking sat in a low block. And they were trying to convince us that that was going to fit into our style of play.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even, like, obviously, I mean, look at the kill Watts.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, to anyway Olaf say, something that would benefit the club is crazy.
He did later say, to be clear, lie is not the right word. I think everyone felt they were on the same page, and then that didn't match up to how the team was set up and played. So they weren't on the same page.
I mean, if they were saying, hey, we need a high press, that's what the team's built for. And Olaf goes, oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And then does it. He is absolutely lying.
Did you see the picture of Olaf, like, out at dinner with Jack Grealish?
Yeah, we talked about that last one time.
I saw. Oh, well, never mind then. Let's go to Tiger Taint at Tiger Taint FR on X. I just wanted to read that name. Klaus sucks. A real DP in his position tonight would have had two goals. Klaus shot the ball right at the keeper from 5 feet away, then missed the target from 12 yards under no pressure at all. And then just a stray shot at the end. Three words, Betcher also sucks. He's like, I just think of Betcher as the 50 Cent. Like, what do you say fuck me for? Like, right at the end. He rants about Klaus. He's like, oh, yeah, also Betcher sucks as well.
I mean, what more can we say about Klaus? I see both sides, and I'm firmly in the position of our DP has to be better than that. And if they cut him, like if they say, hey, you know, we need to move on, I will be sad because he was a big part of that first year, even though he was injured most of it. And he did have his moments, but DP's got to play better than that. We look way better with Klaus on the field, but it's the thing. It's Tiger like, Taint I see has both a sides. And shout out Tiger Taint FR.
Tiger Taint for real. Thank you for your contribution to this episode. The only other one that I had, I think this is a perfect bow on this first time segment was Brian Hopfinger. I hope I'm saying that correctly. BHOP07. Solid. This was when the city social team said, fought hard until the end, boys, about the loss. He just said, solid effort at trying to polish this turd. That was a very, that one also made me chuckle. That was a good one.
Very reactionary fan base. I was surprised that the subreddit was a little tamer.
Yeah, I even some of the comments in the thread on X, I didn't think were, like, sometimes you see people saying some crazy shit in there, or, like, you know, fire everyone and start over from square one. Like, that's not gonna work, most likely. But even after Sunday, it wasn't, I didn't see as much chaos as I thought I would in the replies.
I saw a couple fire loots.
Yeah. Yeah, but those...
Should we address what Lutz did?
Yes.
Should we address it, or should we let it go?
No, I think you at least address it to see... So what it is he took up a gig doing TV for the Club World Cup. He's going to be doing... I don't know if it's pregame, postgame, or if he's going to be commentating. I might have said that specifically, but he's going to be, at least in some capacity... You know, spending some time with that on the pregame show, because it was a primetime Sunday night soccer game. I think it was Bradley Wright Phillips was the one who said it. Said, I don't want to see my sporting director on TV talking about football when my team is 14th with only 14 points. But that's just me. How do you feel about that?
First off, shout out Bradley Wright Phillips. I went to the 2018 MLS All-Star Game in Atlanta, and he missed the penalty that cost the MLS All-Stars the game against Juventus. So shout out Bradley Wright Phillips for that.
Well, thanks for that.
He is right, though. I want to get that clear. He's right. That's like, hey, Lutz, you got a coaching search to do. You know, the summer transfer window's coming up. Like, what are we doing?
I think optically, and I think this is exactly what the other guy on the post game or pregame show said. I think optically it doesn't look good, because that's clearly like, hey, maybe you should stay at home and figure out those problems before you're taking on other responsibilities. But you know, give Lutz a fucking laptop and a phone, and I don't know, have him work remote. You know, everybody else does it. I think. He can do it. It won't be, you know, a full-time gig. I don't know. I think that I've seen a couple reactions to that online acting like it's a lot bigger than it is. But it's not a good time to do it. I will say that.
As long as you ban the Bundesliga 2 website, I'm all for it. You'd apparently
as long as I think that Lutz even said, you know, this could be an opportunity to make connections, and you know that could lead to future signings and blah blah blah. And I was like, just God, please, no Bundesliga 2 players. Oh wow, so he's gonna be like color commentating?
No, it says in part of the pregame show.
Oh,
okay. It's on the MLS pregame show.
Okay,
so connections is he making?
Yeah, I don't. I thought he might
talk to Bradley Wright Phillips. That might be our next head coach.
Yeah. Well, I still think that it won't take up that much of his time. I would hope that he can do some aspects of his job not in the office in St. Louis, but we'll see. They even from the jump when they fired Olaf, they emphasized the summer window, so. Don't go off and do media for the Club World Cup and talk about how much this window means if you're going to go out and sign shitty cheap players and then wonder why nothing is changing with the club that you're in charge of. That's all. That's where I'm at.
You mean the Club World cash grab? I think that's what Seattle had on their shirts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. This is a very ignorant. I don't really know a whole lot. I know it's like, I'm assuming it's some clubs are getting paid more than others to participate. Was that the reason for that?
I think so.
Like, I think they wanted equal pay or something, which I feel like it's not crazy to do that. It's like, okay, there's however many participants, we're splitting the money X amount of ways. But then when you look at the Seattle Sounders schedule and you see that they're playing PSG, I'm like, okay, maybe Maybe PSG's bringing in a little more money into this Club World Cup than Seattle.
They also got Atletico Madrid in their group. It's a rough group for Seattle.
And I know that Seattle's got a decent fan base, but I don't think I don't know. I think that they're probably on the lower side of the revenue share of those matchups, shall we say.
Seattle doesn't look the same as Paris when they win.
Exactly. to say the least, honestly, yeah. That was some Lutz media talk, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it's a tough time to do it. If you do that after the first season when we were really good, I don't think people have a problem with it.
I think that's a potentially job-costing career move there.
But because don't you think, like,
if he doesn't, well, if he doesn't get it right, if he doesn't, these next two decisions, the summer transfer window and the coaching hire, they were already, you know, I mean, they're already potentially job-ending decisions he has to make, and now it just looks worse when he does this. And if they're wrong, you could point to it.
Yeah, I would just assume that he's probably consulting somebody before he takes, like, you know, he's probably at least asking ownership or whoever else, like, you know, he's probably getting that cleared before
he the world. He could do his job from wherever, but optics are bad.
Optics are bad for sure. Another aspect where optics are bad was our guessing game recap from Sunday. No points given out. You did have the score correct, but you were on the wrong side of that. You said 2-1 City, Klaus man of the match and goal scorer. I had 1-0 City, Berkey man of the match, Bartel goal scorer. I was doing it too. No points given out. I'm still in the lead with 5 points, followed by Mike at 4, and then Trevor way down at the bottom with 2 points. So nothing changing there. What a shock. We predicted wrong again.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? But I think that'll about do it from us here at Inside City Limits. As always, thank you for listening for the 10 people maybe who listened this long. We appreciate 12. It. 12. Shout out our Brazilian listeners. Give us a follow online at C Sutton City, at ICL Pod. We will be back with a preview for next week against LA. We'll have to figure out when we're going to record because it is – I'm going to pull a Trevor here, Mike. Get ready. It's my fabulous wife's birthday on this weekend, so we are going to go out of town and celebrate. So I might not be watching live, but I will do a rewatch and then we can discuss everything. But we'll figure that out. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. The
preview's coming out Friday.
Yeah, well, I'll be here for the preview, the recap, which hopefully it'll be a more positive one than this week. We'll figure that out. But until then, give us a follow and let's go all caps.